Father, inspire the words I say now, but inspire our hearts, mine included, that we may take seriously your gospel and preach it out. Amen. Amen. What is the most important thing you can do in life? Actually, it is to bring somebody to Christ. It is to preach the gospel. And by that I do not mean we all have to get up in the pulpit or on the street corner and engage a crowd. Now that would be true for some of us, and I think we should all consider whether we are gifted for that particular role. Now, what I more have in mind is what St. Peter calls being prepared to give an account of the hope within you. I think this means being prepared to broach the subject of our faith when we talk to our friends and relatives. Actually, along with politics, most people are happy to talk about religion. The trouble is, we are frightened of it, and so our friends and relatives are, and let us be blunt about it, destined for hell. John Stott called it our guilty silence. And thinking about him brings me to my second question. What is the most important thing you can do after death? It's actually the same. It's to preach the gospel. As many of you will know, the writings of C.S. Lewis are very important to me. I just feel sorry that his death was rather eclipsed by somebody else dying on the same day, President Kennedy. And of course, we are studying this letter from the Apostle Paul many, many years after his death. Paul sees all life experience as having a positive aspect. Rather bizarrely, he says that his time in prison has made his fellow Christians more outspoken about their faith. You can actually find that in verse 14 if you've still got your Bibles open. Perhaps he was remembering the death of Stephen and his own persecution of other Christians. It probably had a profound effect on him. Tertullian, an early Christian, said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. In other words, the fact that they were prepared to die for their faith was an enormous witness to unbelievers. Christians should die well. And that should be true today when we are faced with incurable illness. What an encouragement that there is nothing between death and the immediate presence of Christ. And so that should be a wonderful thing to look forward to. I would count Violet as a close friend. And I'm sorry that she's no longer with us. And I think I and this church have lost something in her passing. But I praise God that her death was not drawn out in what can be a particularly unpleasant form of cancer. But following on what I said about the most important thing you can do after death is to preach the gospel, I think one of the great memorials to her faith was all the people that had gone through Sunday school, which she taught. Although Paul eagerly looked forward to death, and he realized that it was better that he should live to continue his work encouraging the fledgling churches. Paul knew that the Philippian church was praying for him, verse 19. And that has enormous implications for us. How often do we pray for our persecuted fellow Christians? Smith Wigglesworth said that he won the Second World War on his knees. He took the radio broadcasts of the day and then turned them into daily prayers. Our church supports the Barnabas Fund, which cares for persecuted Christians around the world. I would like to encourage you to talk to Graham Turl to find out how you can pray. At the moment, we do not have physical persecution in Britain, but that could change in the future. Success in spreading the gospel always brings opposition. If you have a successful ministry, it can lead to pride, but it is the song that is important, not the singer. Much as I admire John Stott, who I personally knew, C.S. Lewis and Schaefer through their writings, as they were all formative in my own conversion, I know it was purely because God was using them. Paul says that some preach out of selfish ambition, verse 17, but it doesn't seem to worry him. For him, the important thing is that Christ is preached. Once we start wondering if we are good enough to talk about Christ, we will never get started. But how is evangelism relevant to our church? So far I've been concentrating on our individual need to witness. But what is the role of the church? Many years ago, and I forget who, said that churches were riddled with mau-mau activity. And nowadays we would perhaps change Mau Mau for Al-Qaeda activity. And what did he mean by that? It is too easy for church politics to take root. We can divide into various factions and acquire a party spirit. And St. Paul is very condemning of this in his first letter to the Church of Corinth. And basically, this is pride again. Now, it is acceptable to disagree about something, but not to let it hinder our unity and fellowship. The only remedy is to look long and hard at Christ himself until his way of thinking and acting become ours. You see, the greatest hindrance to the advance of the gospel has been the failure of Christians. We talk a lot about love, joy, and peace, but non-Christians only too readily pick up the inconsistency in what we say and do. It is not long before a newcomer to a church is subject to this disunity, having previously had a sense of a wonderful, caring church membership. In fact, the gospel message has the greatest influence when the lives of Christians commend it, and that gives us a special responsibility in not only speaking about Christ's redeeming death, but also how we fit into the church. Now, you are not in a position to see when I've used a small C and a large C in my text, And I'm not trying to say that this church is riddled with disunity. I think it has been in the past. And in fact, one of the very first conversations I had with anyone in this church when I first arrived was about the vicar. But I think it is something that can very easily happen. The word translated as conduct yourselves in verse 27 is the root of our word politics. Whereas we need to fulfill our role as good citizens of the state, we also need to fulfill our role as good members of our church. Paul therefore says in verse 27, and I quote, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And then I, Paul, will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel." How much do we share the job of evangelism? Are we frightened to bring our Christian friends together with our non-Christian friends and relatives? Is this not doing the non-Christians a terrible disservice? Do we pray that we might have opportunities to talk about Christ with people? And do we share that need with other church members? How many non-Christians do we really know? Do we pray about opportunities to speak to people? Can we put simply the gospel message in our own words? Do we know when it might be more relevant, for example, to talk about suffering than the full-blown message of salvation? Above all, we need sensitivity. Many years ago, I was walking along the road by Fran Barnett's library when this big van drew up alongside me. And written in huge letters on the side was Mobile Gospel Inc. And out of this van hopped an American in a dark suit, carrying the biggest Bible I'd ever seen, and I don't know why, because he didn't refer to it once, and he came up to me, and I must apologize, because I'm no good at accents, so I won't attempt it. And he came up to me and he said, "Are you saved, brother?" To which rather meekly I said, "Yes." But it made no difference to him at all. He then went through the ABC of the gospel. When he finished, he immediately turned on his heels, jumped back in the van, and drove off. I'd been evangelized. In fact, I felt deeply humiliated. Yeah. What if I'd had some major problem at the time? What if I'd been suffering? Yeah, there was a complete lack of sensitivity. The church is no more and no less the sum total of all Christians. I believe it has two primary roles. Firstly, to praise God. And secondly, to spread the gospel message. Unfortunately, we, and I include myself, are particularly poor at the latter. The church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of non-members. And we need to grasp that responsibility and let it shape our mindset. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the writings of Paul. And Father, thank you for those writings of Jesus. Father, thank you for Christians who've gone before and have had such an influence. Father, thank you for this evangelism course on Thursdays. But Father, we need to have the courage of a St. Paul, and we all, myself included, need to be prepared to speak out that message. So Father, we ask for courage. Amen.